Welcome in, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets presented by So Rare right here on Game Plus Network, also live on our FTN Network YouTube page. If you're hanging out with us live, smash that like button. If you are listening on iTunes or Spotify, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. It'll do us a huge solid here on this Thursday, which is indeed NFL draft day. It is finally here. All the prep, all the mock drafts, and we'll continue to dive into, you know, some of the prospects and some of the rookies, of course, when they do get drafted here over the next little bit. But I am excited. It is finally here. I'm really looking forward to seeing how the top of this draft does fall. The wide receivers that get selected in the first, second, third round. And we are going to be with you through the entire 2 days, the first 2 days of the NFL draft happening this evening at 7:30 Eastern here on our FTN Network YouTube page. Myself and Mike Randall will be with you through the entire NFL draft. We're going to start things a little bit early, you know, talk about our mocks, some things that we expect maybe to happen, things we're looking forward to seeing. We'll talk about some NFL draft props. We're going to talk about some draft props here on the show as well. But as you see, Benny Ricciardi, Adam Pfeiffer, Dane Martinez is going to join me here on this show today. He will be with us this evening as well. And the Pope also, we're going to have a lot of great outside guests joining us, some beat reporters that cover these teams, Jake Seeley of The Athletic, the host of All in Football, which comes your way on Game Plus Network as well. Jake and I will be together tomorrow morning to recap the first round, but he's going to stop by this evening as well. We got a lot to get to here on this show, but I'm really looking forward to the NFL draft show this evening, and we will be with you tomorrow as well, day two, with the entire crew breaking things down as they happen. Some real life analysis. What is that? It's not fantasy, fake analysis. It's real time analysis, instant analysis when it happens. So it should be fun. Looking forward to it, and I cannot wait. I'm going to show you my NFL mock version a little bit later on. I made a couple tweaks, but for the most part, I've kind of stayed true to what I feel like will happen. But again, it is a guessing game. We'll have some fun with it. I do have a couple changes. I still have the Titans being aggressive and moving up to get themselves a quarterback, whether that's CJ Stroud, Will Levis, or Anthony Richardson. We'll see. I will show you mock version 4.0 in just a little bit. Going to talk about some NFL draft props, just what to expect via Vegas, positional players, the over-under when it comes to quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, offensive players, defensive players that we will see here in this first round. Maybe visit Peter Schrager and Daniel Jeremiah's mocks, as they had some updated versions last night as well. And, you know, I respect those two. I respect a lot of people, obviously, in the industry. But those are two guys that I really do feel like are in tune with mock drafts and prospects and what teams, the direction of what teams will go. So we'll look. I have the Texans trading up. I had that yesterday. And some reports now are suggesting that the Texans will do whatever they can to move up to get their quarterback. But I do have them moving up. I had them moving up to the three spot against Arizona with Arizona. But we'll talk about that in a little bit. We got some MLB picks and props today. We're looking to continue this success. We had the Angels over 5.5 runs yesterday. We also had Logan Gilbert for over 5.5 strikeouts, which we got. So we'll visit the diamond, scan the diamond for a couple MLB picks and some props. Also, with the NFL, we're going to take a look. I mentioned Dane Martinez is in here next. In just a minute or two, he's hanging by. We're going to get him on and talk about what he's looking forward to as well with the NFL draft. But I want to dive into some of the rookie running backs, the rookie prospects at the running back position, not just, you know, Jahmyr Gibbs and Bijan Robinson. I'm going to talk about a couple other running backs as well that we could see. And of course, we'll get a better feel of where these guys are going. There's a couple teams that I feel like will be looking to move up. The Texans are one. The Eagles are another one. I think they have their eyes on Jalen Carter. And I think, if he does fall to around picks 5 or 6 outside the top 5, because if it's a lot of quarterbacks off the first few, then, you know, Seattle's going to get themselves a heck of a player. What way is Atlanta going to go? And I think Chicago is locked into an offensive lineman potentially. So the Eagles have made some calls. They are a team that could move up and get Carter. We'll see what happens. NHL as well, there's 3 games on the ice tonight. It could be all over for the Eastern Conference, defending Eastern Conference champion Tampa Bay Lightning 3 times, actually, in a row. So the Leafs can get it done here tonight and finally win a first-round matchup for the first time since 2003. They've lost 6 straight first rounds. So we will talk about that game. The Rangers and the Devils are all knotted up at 2 games apiece. The Jets, it could be all over for them and expect it to be all over for Winnipeg tonight with a matchup in Vegas. The Golden Knights up 3-1, and we will definitely dive into the Kraken, who have a 3-2 series lead over the Colorado Avalanche. Yesterday was a great day again in terms of NHL props. We had Taylor Hall with a two-unit plays, got goals in 4 straight games. We had Bergeron with a point. We went heavy, I think, maybe a little bit too heavy on the Boston Bruins, but they've been good to us for the most part. But we will dive into what we saw last night with the Florida Panthers extending that series, now game 6, in Sunrise, which should be highly entertaining as well. But we did nail the 4 shot props, which we had over at Prize Picks, Taylor Hall, and we had Bowen Byram, Jaden Schwartz, and Sam Bennett as well. So it's been a successful ride. Hopefully we can continue to keep things going. As I mentioned, there's a lot to get to here. And the Bucks. Maybe we'll save it because I see Dane is in the green room, and maybe I'll get his thoughts on that as well. He's rocking. He's ready to go. It is draft day, baby. But Jimmy Butler, are you kidding me? And the Bucks, number 1 seed, bye-bye, see you later. I love the comments from Giannis. We'll touch on him in a little bit, but Jimmy went off. I mean, he completely off in the entire series. Historical stuff, in my opinion. I mean, it's just the sixth team, number 1 seed to get bounced in the first round. I mean, we got to go all the way back to the Mavs in 07 when they lost to the Golden State Warriors. And by the way, I saw that coming as a Mavs guy. They only had 15 losses all year long. And all 3 times they played Golden State in the regular season, they lost. And then they lost in 6 in that first round. It was not a good matchup for them. But Giannis had some great quotes, you know, about failure. You know, the Bucks have lost. You know, the past 5 years has been rocky. Of course, they have the championship there. They're up 2-0 in the Eastern Conference to the Raptors. They blew that. They've lost to the Heat twice over the last 5 years as a 1 seed, but this one here is shocking, absolutely shocking. And another comeback for Miami, and the way that they came back and the game tying bucket at the end. But Jimmy Butler, I want to give him some love, as you saw there on the screen. I mean, 56 points and 42 points to kind of wrap it up. He averages 38-6-4, shot 60% from the floor and 40% from 3. Whew, my goodness. 56-9-2 and 42-8-4 the last 2 games for Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Buckets. Historical stuff, obviously, with the number 1 seed Bucks losing and what Jimmy was able to do. And I know that the spit and statistician Dane Martinez is all over it as well. So we're going to break. We're going to bring him in. We'll get his thoughts. It is Knicks and Heat. Knicks and Heat. One of those 2 teams will be in the Eastern Conference Finals in the NBA, and the Knicks are opening up at home game 1 against the Heat. We're going to talk about that and the NFL draft, of course, with Dane. Keep her locked. We'll be back in a couple. Welcome back in. Mean Streets here live on Game Plus Network and as well as our FTN Network YouTube page as we bring in Dane Martinez. You see there, Spittin' Speeds on the Twitter machine. Also, all over the FTN Bets podcast these days. I joined him last week. I loved my time with you. I always love my time with you, and I appreciate you topping in today. It's NFL Draft Day. Looking forward to it, man.
Yeah, hope springs eternal for all teams except one that I guess forfeited their first round pick.
I'm going to present my like mock 4.0 version, and I'm guaranteed, I think, to get 2 picks right. I think Bryce Young at number 1 and Miami.
And the Miami pick.
Yeah, so like I'm locked in with those 2. There's no question about it. Before we get to the NFL draft and what you're looking forward to seeing and what you expect maybe tonight, and again, you are going to join us this evening a few times over at FTN Network, our NFL draft show. We're going to hear from you and Benny Ricciardi and a few other FTN minds and some people outside the business as well. It should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to that as well. What do you make of the Bucks and the Heat? I mean, that's a massive upset, and nobody saw that coming at all. I think the Bucks were minus 1,600 favorites when the series began. Not only did they lose, they lost in 5. And they blew 2 massive fourth quarter leads over the past couple of games. It's craziness, right? It's wild.
Yeah, absolutely. And to be quite honest, I think it's less about Milwaukee, although going into the playoffs, I was looking to fade Milwaukee. I liked the winner of what I thought would be a Boston-Philadelphia second round series to actually win the Eastern Conference. That's kind of the way I thought it was going to play out. But this is about Jimmy Butler. I mean, come on, like you were talking about this kind of the historic performances, right? 56 points, you know, in game 4. Then what he did last night, and in both of those games, Milwaukee had a stranglehold on the game with what, like 4 or 5 minutes left to go. And you could kind of see the snowball effect happening, right? You could see it on Jimmy Butler's face. The last play in regulation yesterday, the tip-in, was absolutely ridiculous. And now you mentioned it. They go on and face the Knicks, right? Like, I'm a New Yorker. I'm a Knicks fan, but I got to tell you, I've got a little man crush on Jimmy Butler right now. And so it's kind of hard to figure out what to do on this one, but we'll see what happens come Sunday afternoon for game one. But yeah, to me, this is all about Jimmy Butler and Giannis and the Bucks. They have some thinking to do because they have some interesting contract statuses coming up.
Yeah, they do. And, you know, those north of the border in the Toronto area, I don't know. They weren't really feeling the Raptors, but I know that some people in the area felt like maybe they could have given the Bucks a go. You talked about fading them to start the playoffs. Maybe they could have given them a go, but it was the Heat that gave them the go. And this, too, I didn't read it off for our iTunes and Spotify listeners, but 98 points in the two games to eliminate the one seed. Only three players in NBA playoff history have scored more points that span than Jimmy Butler, right, in the two-game span. You got Baylor, West, and Jordan. That's a nice list. It's a nice list for sure. Man, it's just like craziness. That was wild last night. And as I mentioned, just, you know, six number one seeds bounced in the first round. We haven't seen it since the Mavs in 2007. And I think the other time that it happened was like 99. So it's been a long, long time since it has happened. You mentioned the Knicks. Let's just hit on this for a quick second. We got two matchups here. Yep. Knicks and Heat. New York minus 140 to win the series. As I mentioned, they're going to open up at MSG. And then we have the Nuggets and the Phoenix Suns here, and the Suns at minus 140. And then another guy that's been popping off here in the playoffs is Devin Booker. That guy's been just fantastic. We talked about him as a potential like 16-1 to be NBA Finals MVP. Of course, they got to get there. But the reason I liked it is just the, you know, with KD on the floor, it just, you know, he creates so much for other people, and it's leaving a lot of open shots for Booker, and he's taking advantage of it. Those two series should be epic, and we know that we're going to probably, if Boston wins tonight, going to face off against the 76ers, and then a big win last night, which we had here on the show, the Golden State Warriors finding a way to win on the road. But they do have now a 3-2 series lead on Sacramento, and Memphis holding on last night as well. But what do you make of those two series here? Start with your Knicks.
Yeah, listen, I love the fact that the Knicks have home court advantage in this one, you know, and I think that is ultimately going to be a difference. I expect, you know, I'm looking for some of these totals to come out. You know, all of the games in that first round series against Cleveland went under. I've seen series with Miami in the Eastern Conference playoffs before where it's like almost a joke when we see live totals of like 196.5. So I do think I'm going to get underplays a lot in the Eastern Conference. And I like what the Knicks are doing right now. They seem to really be a team, and it's, you know, what Jalen Brunson is doing is absolutely out of control. We thought he was going to be good when we signed him, but not like this. And to be honest, we're doing this with a poor version of Julius Randle, right? Yeah. So you put that all together, the home court, what Brunson's doing, me expecting that now with a little bit of time, maybe Randle's ankle gets a little bit better. And I'm just quadruple teaming Jimmy Butler, right? And I'm forcing someone else, whether it is, you know, Strus, Robinson, Lowry, whoever it is. If they beat me, I tip my cap, but it will not be Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, fair enough. And, you know, Strus with the three shot at the end, there was a tough foul for Giannis there. Put him to the line for the three free throws. But I would agree, like double and triple and quadruple Jimmy Butler and see if he can get by that way.
Get Spike Lee out there to trip him or undercut him. I don't care.
I was pretty surprised that they made quick work of the Cavs. I thought it would be a long series, a tight series. And you're right, you know, very low scoring. Yesterday we had over 235.5 on the Kings in the Warriors game. And, you know, it cruises past those numbers. It's just been ridiculous. What do you make of the Suns and the Nuggets on the other side? Who's the team to beat in the Western Conference?
You know, and like I just told you, and I've been saying this the whole time on the Eastern Conference, I was saying, I like whoever gets past the Boston Philly second round matchup. In the Western Conference, I've said, I like whoever wins what I thought would be a second round matchup between the Suns and the Nuggets. I like the way Phoenix is coming together. And that was my only open question, Chris, you know, did they have enough time, enough reps to see how all the pieces fit with KD and obviously Booker as the main components, but CP3 running the show and Ayton in the middle. And they've kind of checked that box for me, right? Like, it seems like they are gelling. And that was going to be the only thing preventing me from taking Phoenix. And if not, I thought Denver was getting a little bit under-respected. They were the number one seed. Definitely. They were the best record all season long. They have playoff experience. They have the two-time defending MVP. And I think everybody was kind of, on some level, discounting them. I wasn't discounting them. And I do believe whoever wins that series will make it to the NBA Finals. Right now, if you have to ask me, I would take a Phoenix Suns Philadelphia 76ers NBA Finals matchup.
Nice. I was on the Suns and Bucks, so... Yikes. Yeah. I would probably go with I like the 76ers call, right? Celtics have seen him a little bit like not themselves, right? And Trae Young has kind of popped off for a little bit there, but I do expect the Celtics to get by, and that will be a heck of a series between Philadelphia and Boston. All right, enough NBA talk. I mean, it's been highly entertaining, but it's NFL draft day here today. So what are you looking for? What are you expecting today? I'm hoping to see craziness. I want multiple wide receivers traded in the first round like last year, A.J. Brown and Hollywood Brown. I want to see DeAndre Hopkins maybe traded midday here tonight. I don't know. What are you looking forward to?
So, like you said, I'm looking forward to some of the trades, right, that may be on the horizon. DeAndre Hopkins, Trey Lance, Buda Baker. We'll see what happens there. But, you know, I'm looking to see where these guys fall because, quite frankly, Mimi, you know this, there are so many options now in the betting markets, right? Over-unders on so many things, specific positions, team to draft this guy, what position will be drafted. And I think it's a soft market, Chris, because you see now – so much volatility, so much movement. And I think you can follow the steam here as we get closer and closer to draft time. So for example, you know, there was a time when Dalton Kincaid was the favorite to be the number one tight end off the board. Now Mayer out of Notre Dame is like minus 300. You know, hopefully you get that in the move. But the one I would tell you that you could still get today, right now, Chris, there has been a ton of movement in the first defensive player off the board. Yesterday, Tyree Wilson was the favorite. Now, Will Anderson is like a minus 250 favorite. So there's a lot of movement going that way. I do believe ultimately the Houston Texans will select him number two overall. What the ripple effect is for the quarterbacks, where CJ Stroud falls and all of that, I think is going to be very interesting as we move along. But I do think follow the buzz, especially today with the reports, because the numbers are moving like crazy.
It is moving. So I'll give a little bit of a sneak peek here. Quan, let's bring this up. We'll show,
what
I got going on here. So I do have Tennessee being aggressive. I agree with you. I think the Texans should take a quarterback personally, but it does sound like they're not going to, and they're going to let what would be two division rivals get a quarterback here. And they would be in the conversation, I guess, next year to get another quarterback. But you see potentially Houston maybe taking somebody here at two, and then the move happening, Tennessee getting aggressive and getting that that quarterback that they like there at three. And so we'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll let you get out of here. I know there's going to be a lot of time to talk about this here today, and you'll be on the show and we'll walk through all of it as well. So check out Dane. He's got picks over at ftmbets.com. You got about 30 seconds or so. You want to share the people where they can find your work and listen to the podcast?
Yeah, absolutely. On Twitter, at Spittin' Speed. You said it before, although, you know, Spittin' Statistician, you got to say it five times fast to make sure you can roll.
I can't. I
get it roll off the tongue. And then, like you said, every week at the FTN BetsCast, the pod, we have everybody coming on. You came on giving us, you know, I even followed you with Hall on the Bruins yesterday. Listen, you got to follow Meanie in the NHL playoffs. I don't know how many times I got to tell you this. But, yeah, the podcast is dropping weekly. We'll be with Jiu-Jitsu next week, breaking down the UFC card that'll be going down on next Saturday night.
Drew's fantastic. You are as well. Listen to the pod. It's absolutely free to check out. So make sure you're subscribed. Make sure you're following Dane. And make sure you check out the NFL Draft Show tonight. Appreciate your time, dude. To your Knicks, and we will chat very, very soon. Keep her locked. We got a lot more to get to here on Mean Streets. Welcome back, and we want to thank Dane Martinez for dropping by and getting psyched for the NFL Draft Show. We're going to continue the NFL talk here. We're going to take a look at some of the prospects in just a little bit, but I want to show this here, Quan. I'll pop this up. So just give you guys a little bit of a feel of maybe what to expect tonight. I'll roll through some of these odds. I don't really like too much here from a betting angle, but this is from DraftKings. The quarterback selected here, they got 4.5. The over is minus 130. I kind of have a lean to the under at plus 100. I don't think we're going to see five quarterbacks. I know Hooker's in a lot of people's mocks, and I just don't see it. I think maybe if it's going to happen, maybe the Vikings are a team that takes them with their pick, you know, in the early 20s. But I think we'll definitely see the first four, and I think we'll see the first three within the first four picks, and we'll get back to that mock in just a second. But Dane is right. It's all about the Texans, what they do at pick number two. And if they don't go quarterback, then that's where we can see a team really be aggressive. Because as we mentioned multiple times in the show, the Arizona Cardinals are a team that's just, they're rebuilding. They got a first-time head coach in Rich Gannon, and they have, you know, a guy in DeAndre Hopkins who wants out of town, and they have a guy in Buda Baker who wants out of Zona as well, the desert. So this is a team that should trade back and get some assets, just like Chicago, trading back, getting some assets. I'd imagine they still have a top 12 pick, especially if it is the Titans that is aggressive and moves up. And maybe there's another team that, maybe it's the Raiders that move up to get him. Heck, maybe the Eagles. I know that they don't want a quarterback, but maybe they move up and get a guy like Jalen Carter. So it's possible, but I'm down with the under on the quarterbacks there at 4.5. Let's bring that back up, Quan, and kind of roll through some of the other positions via Vegas and some of the odds here. So running backs 1.5. I think we're going to see two running backs taken, and the over is just not something that you can bet. It's minus 300. For two running backs to get selected in the first round. Wide receivers gave this yesterday at minus 125 for four wide receivers to be selected in the first round. It's now minus 180. So the odds have changed considerably, like to the point where we can't take that at minus 180. And if you tailed yesterday, hopefully it works out because we did like that bet. I don't know if we still have that board, Quan, that we could maybe check up just with some of the wide receivers. I think we got rid of it. It's all good. We just showed some of the wide receivers that could potentially get taken. And we'll bring up the mock in a second, and we can go to that, back to that. But here, so tight ends two right on the button, and over is minus 350. I think we will see two. That'd be the push. I suppose under two, if you're not really feeling it at plus 270, but I think, you know, Kincaid and Mayer are two guys that will go. And there's multiple teams, as we bring up the mock in a second, there's multiple teams like Dallas, Cincinnati, the Chargers, the Packers. These are teams that I think could consider a tight end. You know, the wide receiver class is not fantastic, but tell you what, this tight end class is really good. We will see multiple tight ends in the first two rounds of this draft. There's no question about it. Defensive backs sitting there at 5.5, minus 120, 225 for the over 5.5. Defensive players plus 240 for over 14.5 defensive players, not on the board, but that's over at DraftKings. Same with offensive players as well. 16.5, the over minus 280. And then total offensive linemen drafted minus 500 for over 5.5. Kind of feel like a little bit of a sprinkle in the under 5.5, but I think we could. I think we could see six offensive linemen here get taken. Let's transition over to the mock. George Tyler Quan. Oh my goodness, Bat. It's going to be a long day. We're going to be with you guys on the FTN Network all day long. I had to do the NHL Dangle Batselli show by myself. EY didn't have the net. And it's just like the internet didn't work for him. So this is kind of hanging out, rambling by myself like I am right now. But we do appreciate you guys. So this is 4.0. I haven't changed too much from yesterday. I changed the Eagles pick. I went with Nolan Smith at edge. I originally had Atlanta taking him. Certainly Atlanta's a wild card, but up at the top, right? Bryce Young is the favorite here to be the first pick. He's been the favorite for a long time. This is what we expect. As mentioned multiple times, I would like to see the Texans draft a quarterback, but maybe they feel like, you know, Will Anderson Jr. is definitely a solid player and looking to replace guys like JJ Watt and Jadeveon Clowney. And this is a team that has a lot of holes, and they'll have a top five pick next year, but they certainly dropped the ball winning week 18 and not being able to get Bryce Young here. But we'll see what they do. Personally, I would like to see them get CJ Stroud, as I said, 1A, 1B between Young and Stroud. So that could be the domino. Texans don't take a quarterback. Arizona doesn't want a quarterback. People like CJ Stroud. Maybe they like Will Levis, and they're aggressive and they jump up here. So I have the Titans moving up to the three spot to get there. And then Will Levis at four. This is one change that I made. I went with Levis over Anthony Richardson, you know, Steichen in Philly. Richardson, maybe some similarities there to Jalen Hurts. Dual threat, can be coached up. I think Steichen, you know, can run a very similar offense with him, but I think Will Levis is like ready now. I think the Colts do have a win now team. The offensive line didn't play great last year. They had a lot of injuries defensively, but they have a lot of pieces. They got some skilled wide receivers, and they do have a good offensive line and a great running back in Jonathan Taylor. Will Levis has played in some like NFL systems, like in Kentucky. He's had like three different offensive coordinators over the past couple of seasons, but you know, out of all the other quarterbacks, he's played in an NFL style system in college that can kind of translate into maybe him being the guy right now. Am I a big Kincaid guy? Yeah. I mean, I do. I like him. I got him going to the Packers. I made that switch as well here. So I'll get there in a second. Just the Seattle Seahawks are going to get themselves a really good player here. If Houston doesn't go quarterback and we see three quarterbacks in the top four, you know, I got them taking Wilson. We've seen them, maybe they could take Jalen Carter. He's got some off-field stuff. We've seen it before them as an organization deal with, you know, some kind of maybe quote unquote troubled players, but Carter's terrific. I think he's like one or two in terms of talent in this draft, but it's how far is he going to fall? I got Detroit taking a corner. I got the Raiders taking a corner. I don't think they're going to take a quarterback. As I said, I think McDaniels feels like he's winning now with Jimmy G, and they got a lot of holes. I could see them taking an O-lineman to protect Jimmy G is certainly possible as well. I got them taking a corner here in Gonzalez and Witherspoon to Detroit. So Carter falls to Atlanta. I know a lot of people have Bijan Robinson there at pick eight. I just don't see it. Chicago get an offensive lineman, right? Protect Justin Fields. Fields is on his butt quite a bit last year, and you know, he can only avoid so much pressure. So get an offensive lineman there for Justin Fields. And then the Eagles, you know, they just kind of built through the trenches. They've done this for years. You know, I know a lot of people. I had Lucas Van Ness going to them at 10. I made the switch. I really like Nolan Smith as an edge guy. So I think just a defender would be the play. You know, they have a couple offensive linemen. They have a couple defensive players that really didn't see a whole lot of playing time last year, will this year, but they bring back Fletcher Cox, who's near the end of his career, and Brandon Graham. So get an edge player in there. So Arizona trades back, you know, a lot of holes. They could trade back again. I got them taking Paris Johnson Jr., you know, who a lot of people actually have Chicago taken at pick nine there. But so I got the first wide receiver off the board and Jaxon Smith-Njigba to the Texans at pick 12. There's a lot of reports of them trading back or maybe wanting to trade back up. Yesterday I had Will Levis following them at 12. I made that switch. Other wide receivers I have here, Zay Flowers to Seattle. I came off of the Chargers taking a wide receiver, instead taking Bijan Robinson there, you know, with Austin Eckler looking like this will be the final year of his deal in LA. I got also Jordan Addison to the Giants as a wide receiver there. And then Buffalo taking a wide receiver, Quentin Johnson. I came off of Baltimore taking a wide receiver. You know, it just doesn't seem like it's something that they do, right? It's just, they just don't have a history of doing that. And maybe they feel like Odell Beckham Jr. is enough there with Rashad Bateman. And who else is there? Nelson Aguilar. So I do have over 3.5 wide receivers. In fact, I have another one here at the end. There it is. Thank you, Quan, for that. So those are the four that I do feel like will go in the first. And I had a fifth there. Kansas City. So a couple of candidates there, the Titans, maybe that's too early of a pick for them to get involved with a wide receiver, but Jalen Hyatt there, you know, losing Mecole Hardman, Tyreek Hill a couple years ago, Juju Smith-Schuster. I think that they could, I think if Addison is there, they definitely go the Addison route, but I got Addison going a little bit earlier. So the Giants taking a wide receiver, the Bills and Quentin Johnson taking a wide receiver. I think Cincinnati offensive line, you know, makes sense to continue to protect Burrow, but definitely tight end is in play. I think if Michael Mayer is there or Dalton Kincaid, but I do have the Packers taking Kincaid. Yesterday I went Jaxon Smith-Njigba. And what I talked about yesterday, I think does kind of stay true, is that just because they don't have a history of taking wide receivers in the first round doesn't mean that they won't. Like, Rodgers was good enough, Hall of Fame quarterback, multiple MVPs, won back-to-back MVPs after they drafted Jordan Love. You know, now let's help out the young quarterback. That's kind of my thinking, where Rodgers was able to get it done with quote-unquote mediocre wide receivers. It's like Russell Wilson for years wanted offensive line help. Then they trade him, and what do? In the draft the following year, they draft offensive linemen to help out an inexperienced quarterback in Geno Smith, right? Russell was good enough to avoid the pressure, and, you know, they address it after they lost Russell. I got Richardson here. Detroit is such an interesting team. You know, what do? I think they take a corner, you know, trading a corner just a couple weeks ago to Atlanta. I think they take a corner, and they could take an edge player there. with Hutchinson. That'd be a nice 1-2 punch. I think if Richardson is here at 18, maybe they do it. Like, he's raw. He doesn't have the same sort of experience as the other three quarterbacks. He's played half the games. He needs to be coached up. He's not very accurate. You know, when you watch the combine, he checks a lot of boxes. It's great. But, you know, is he going to jump over offensive linemen in games? Is he going to catch his own passes in the end zone? Like, those things are cool that he did at the combine. Highest vertical and highest leap there. But ultimately, you know, when you watch the film, he's still pretty raw. So Detroit, you know, with Goff last year having a nice season, Detroit on the rise, his team that almost made the playoffs, I think sitting behind, you know, a guy like Goff, whoever does draft Anthony Richardson, I don't think he's going to be the week one starter. I think he's a guy that's going to be behind somebody and learning it for a year or two. And then Zay Flowers was the other guy there for Seattle. So that's the mock. As I said earlier, you know, I probably get two picks right for sure. Maybe three: Bryce Young, Will Anderson, and then Miami forfeiting that pick. We're definitely going to get that pick for sure. Dallas taking a tight end. I think it makes a lot of sense. There's a lot of mocks with wide receivers and running backs there. Dallas taking the tight end, you know, losing Dalton Schultz, and then Green Bay, you know, get some weapons, whether it's Jackson Smith. I think they would actually take JSN if Houston passes on him, but taking a tight end there, a nice tight end. Both of these guys, I think Mayer's more of like a can do it all. Kincaid is a guy that's certainly pretty explosive. Both of those guys, I think, would be, you know, tight ends that we talk about from a fantasy's perspective as like a top 12 tight end if they land on those spots. And then Jahmyr Gibbs to the Eagles. I do think that they will indeed draft a running back, whether it's the first round or a little bit later on. Speaking of running backs, Carter not getting past Seattle. You know what, Josh Gillum in the house, I kind of agree with that. And that's the one where I changed that so many times, dude, so many times. And I almost had it in as well. I made a last second switch this morning. I think you're probably right. Right. As I said, he is, I think, the number one and number two in terms of prospects. You know, if you want to go Bryce Young one, Robinson maybe two or three, but Anderson and Carter, you know, if Carter didn't have the off field issues, he'd be going second overall, I think, but he could fall. Maybe Seattle doesn't want to roll the dice that way. And if Seattle doesn't want to roll the dice on him, then I think a team that we could see move up could be the Birds. They could be the Eagles moving up there as well. But I do agree, right? The talent, I think it's certainly worth the risk. Deesh in the house, Raiders and Titans apparently looking to move up. And I agree on the reports. I've been in on the Titans as that team to move up. And I agree. Some of the reports make me feel a little bit better about that. But yeah, they need a quarterback. Tannehill is a little bit older. I know they're trying to trade Derrick Henry. And then last year, Malik Willis, you know, he's just not the guy. So I could see them trading up. I just don't know about the Raiders. Doesn't really feel like a Raiders thing to do with them getting Jimmy G, knows the system. Definitely want a guy there behind Jimmy G to learn it for a year or two. But I just feel like this team has so many holes. They can get after the quarterback. The O-line is okay. It's not fantastic, but get a lockdown corner, right? Get a top corner, because look at the division. You got to feel like the Broncos offense is going to be a little bit better. You know that you're going to have to deal with Patrick Mahomes for years and Justin Herbert for years. Get yourself a lockdown corner. And now this is what everybody wants. That's what everybody wants. Bijan to Atlanta. That's what everybody's calling. He is the favorite at plus 200 to go at pick 8 to the Falcons, and definitely would have to pour one out for Tyler Allgeier. I'm not comparing the two. I really did like Tyler Allgeier last year, but Arthur Smith is known for a run-first offense. He had an alpha in the King in Derrick Henry in Tennessee. Get it there. Ease off the tension with Desmond Ridder. You got a nice offense. I like Ridder too, by the way. But Ridder with Drake London and Kyle Pitts and Bijan Robinson, that team is certainly compete inside the division. There's not a lot of competitiveness inside the NFC South, but they're going to compete. I could see this too. If they really like Richardson, go up and get him. And that's a scenario where he doesn't have to start week one. You still roll out Tannehill. You got Richardson there behind to learn for a year or two. But Richardson's is a wild card, and I believe that he can be coached up. I think he's probably got the highest ceiling, honestly, because he's dual threat. He doesn't have the same – he's not able to process. None of these guys, I don't think, are able to process like a C.J. Stroud or a Bryce Young. But you can learn, and you can get coached up. And Will Levis, you know, hear some reports that like Josh Allen has the cannon like Allen. He was sleeveless yesterday at the pro day, just bombs. You know, he hit the roof a couple times. But he's got the cannon. Accuracy, I think, is fine. He kind of lives, like, his sweet spot is kind of in that 15 to 20 yard range. He certainly can chuck the ball down the field, but listen, Josh Allen wasn't very accurate coming out of college either, and he didn't have a first 2 years in the NFL wasn't great. Then they built some weapons around him. Good play caller brought in. Good route writers with hands. You can coach up these guys. And I think that Richardson may have the highest ceiling of the four. Man, it's fun. The draft's fun. It's going to happen tonight. Speaking of running backs, we're going to break. We're going to take a look at some of the running backs that we will see get drafted here over the next 48 hours or so. Ah, that's a sneak peek. Let's take a break, Juan. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll dive into that list in just a second. Keep her locked. Mean Streets continues here on Game Plus Network. Welcome back in. Let's actually save that. I've lied. I know all the people are here for the NHL pick. So let's get to the NHL and we'll revisit that towards the end of the show. We'll be able to give more insight once these guys have new teams as well. So let's talk some NHL. Let's talk about last night first. I'm sorry, Quan. I got you all over the place here. This is fine. Let's roll with this, what we got. These are some point props. We got Ryan O'Reilly, minus 134. Morgan Riley, minus 128 for a point. Nino Niederreiter for a point at plus 104. Neil Pionk for an assist at plus 130. And then we have Austin Matthews for an assist at minus 112. So for Ryan O'Reilly, you know, he's got 7 points in the four games in this series, a point in every single game. Five of them have come at 5-5, which we like. He's just played a really key factor, and that's why we like the Leafs to take the next step and finally win a first round. And I think Tampa Bay does win tonight, but ultimately I believe the Leafs will win this series. We had them. And in fact, if it ends tonight, we may get a few units in the FTM bet tracker because we have Leafs to win the series. We have Leafs series spread at -1.5 at plus 135. So to win in six games, at least, or tonight, we have Mitch Marner at plus 300 to lead the series in points, which he is. We have Austin Matthews to lead the series in goals at plus 330, which he is. We have William Nylander over Steven Stamkos goals, which is happening currently right now at the moment as well. So it could be a good night for us if the Leafs do punch a ticket finally to the second round. But anyways, for props, Ryan O'Reilly to pick up a point. Morgan Riley got burned by him the other day. I went with the assist and he scored a goal. Of course, he had the big game-winning goal in game three and then the game-tying goal in game four. He only had 4 goals all year and like 30-some-odd assists. The majority of his points have been via an apple. Plus money for the assist. I think the safer way to go is the point at minus 128, but you can go with the assist. Same sort of deal with Nino Niederreiter. You know, I took the point at plus 104. He does have 3 assists in the game. 14 minutes and 15 minutes in the first two games of the series, 22 in game three, of course, a little bit of overtime, and 18 minutes in game four, a significant boost in ice time. He's back up on the top line with Kyle Connor and Pierre-Luc Dubois. No Mark Scheifele tonight, no Josh Morrissey tonight, which is why we liked Neil Pionk the other night, and we took the assist on Pionk. I think the point and the assist both in play. But one thing I learned yesterday, yeah, it's great that you're going to play on a point, you know, get Taylor Hall, get Patrice Bergeron, and, you know, put a unit on the assist. When the assist happens, you know, you get everything all in one and it's great, but when it's just a point, it kind of evens it out. So I'm trying to just give safer plays, but I do like the assist prop when it comes to Nito Niederreiter at plus 225. I like the point prop for Pionk, but I think the point does come via an assist at plus 130. He's got 7 assists in the series, an assist in every single game, 2 in game 4, 3 in game 5. He's got 4 power play assists over the last 3 games, and that's the key. 20 minutes and 21 minutes in his first 2 games, 41 minutes in game 3, and 27 minutes in game 4. With no Josh Morrissey, he's taken on a bigger workload, and he has the top spot anchoring that first power play. So that's significant for his upside. And then there's Austin Matthews, who picked up a handful of assists in the first 2 games. Just the Leafs really have kind of been outplayed in this series at 5-5, especially the last 2 games in game 1. But Tampa's been taking penalties, and when the Leafs get a power play, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And they are be scoring on those power plays, and there's just so many shooters on that power play. I really like Matthews at minus 112 for the assist. So let's switch over to some shot props this evening. Got the bat next to Braden Point. Braden Point hasn't done a whole lot of 5-5. He kind of needs to, like, when you include over at Natural Stat Trick at all strengths, you see Nikita Kucherov and Braden Point up at the top in shot attempts and shots. It's actually Radish who leads the team in shots at 5-5. But ultimately, I think we're going to see, I mean, this is a team that's been there before. They've faced elimination before, and a team in Toronto that, you know, hasn't had that killer instinct over the years. So I think Tampa forces an extra game here in the series, game 6, and I think the big boys will show up. So Braden Point over 2.5 shots at minus 125. Jack Eichel at over 3.5 shots at plus 105. Kyle Connor as well. He does lead The Jets actually is top five in the playoffs here in terms of shot attempts and shots, and creating a lot of those chances at 5-5. He was stuck on three in the last game, but I think, you know, with elimination, backs against the wall, you know, we could see some of these star players, you know, get double shifted and more ice time for Braden Point, more ice time for Kyle Connor. I got Nino Niederreiter there as well. Not only is he picking up points, he's cleared 2.5 shots in back-to-back games there at +120. I got Riley Smith at SOF. What is that? That's a typo from me. Of course, I always have to bring it up. It's like, some people may not even notice it, and listening on iTunes and Spotify, they wouldn't, but I always bring these sort of things up. It's not George's fault. It's completely my fault. I'm on the bats, not Braden Point. I'm completely on the bats. I'm staying up till 4 a.m. watching the Kraken win hockey games. Riley Smith over 2.5 shots at +130. Riley Smith has really been on my radar lately. I've been taking the over 1.5 shots I've seen on Prize Picks and Underdog. He's been at 2, but, you know, now we're 2.5. But Riley Smith has had at least 3 shots in 3 of the 4 games. The one game he didn't, he had 2. He had 5 in game 1. He has 3 in each of the last 2. And I've noticed he's been the trigger man on the power play lately as well. So Riley Smith over 2.5 shots at +130. And then a parlay here, Neil Pionk at 1.5 shots at +152, sprinkled in with Jack Hughes, who has cleared 3.5 shots in 3 of the 4 games. And the one game he didn't, he had 9 attempts, which was game 1. He had 3 shots there. So he has been a shooting machine, and the Devils are really owning play at 5-5. So can we take a look at the overall NHL bracket before we wrap up with some NHL stuff here? So the Kraken win last night, a big W. You know, I expect this series to go 7. It's going to be tough for Colorado to go in and win at Climate Pledge Arena. That place is going to be rocking, and I'm here for it. But we'll get Kale McCarr back in the lineup. It's just the Avs' depth and lack thereof is really shown here. They didn't replace Nazem Kadri. That's why we didn't have them going too deep in the playoffs. When we did the preview show, we had Dallas and Edmonton in the Eastern Conference Finals. And, you know, I do expect Colorado to go in and win. It will not be easy. Seattle scored the first goal in every single game. Man, they play a really good brand of hockey at 5-5. They block a lot of shots. They're well coached, and, you know, they're getting strong goaltending from Grubauer. But no Nichushkin, and then no Kadri in terms of not replacing him. Matt Nieto and JD Compher, these guys are not second-line players. I love Lekkonen and I love Rodriguez. These guys are not first-line players. So the depth is really kind of showing here. And Florida getting it done last night as well. Boston really was all over them, especially in the second half of that game. It was really, you know, like 80-some-odd attempts to under 40 for Florida. But Paul Maurice went with the $10 million goalie and Sergei Bobrovsky, which I'm sure was a tough call for him to make that call, because Alex Lyon's been the guy that's gotten them there, and he's been the goalie over the last 3 or 4 weeks for them. But he's let in a couple softies, you know, in the losses that Florida did have. And Bobrovsky was fantastic last night. Does he have another game or two in him like that? I don't think so. I think the Bees close it out in Florida. We have him in 6 to start the playoffs. But I think we will see the Lightning win today. I like the over. The over is hitting all the games. It's a trend I want to continue to follow here and bet on. So the over, I think Tampa finds a way to win this game, maybe like a 4-3, and extend the series. I like the under between New Jersey and the Devils, or New Jersey and the Rangers, rather. Not a lot of offensive firepower at 5-5 for the Rangers. They're going to have to find a way. Mika Zibanejad, where are you? He's missing. He's on a bunch of milk cartons in New York. There's no question. Check your fridge. See if Mika is there. We can't find him anywhere. But I like the under. The under's hitting each of the last couple of games. And the Rangers just been scoring on power plays. That's it. And then I like Vegas to close it out. Winnipeg just too shorthanded without Scheifele and Josh Morrissey. So I actually like the Golden Knights on the puck line or to win in 60. So that's the picks for this evening. A whole lot more over at ftnbets.com. We're going to take a quick break. We got some MLB action. And we're going to take a look at some of those running back prospects as well here on Mean Streets on Game Plus Network. Welcome back. And a couple MLB picks here for you, and then we will wrap up with some NFL prospect stuff. So I got some banners that we'll chuck up here, Quan. Let's start with our guy, Shohei Ohtani, over 8.5 strikeouts at +100. Ohtani, so far this season as a pitcher, has been absolutely lights out. He's pitched 28 innings. He has 38 strikeouts, 15 walks, still pretty shoddy with the walks. In fact, I kind of like the over 1.5 walks at -125 for Shohei. He has been struggling with the walks. He faced Oakland earlier this season. He had 10 punchouts, 6 scoreless, walked 3. He walked 4 against Seattle. He walked 5 against Washington, and he walked 2 against the Royals in his last start. But he's had at least 8 strikeouts in 3 of 5. A couple teams there that don't really strike out a ton that he struggled with. And the one game actually was the Red Sox, and that game was rained out. It's only 2 innings. But in those 2 innings, he had 3 punchouts. He's got a ridiculous 12.21 K per nine. The Athletics are inside the top 10 in strikeout percentage, inside the top 12 in swinging strike percentage. Ohtani just can't be touched. And one thing we talked about with Ohtani is his track record at home compared to his track record on the road. And just using Fangraphs and talking about the opponent's batting average is really where I kind of want to focus in on, because so far it's been a very small sample size from only 14 innings at home. Opponents are hitting 0-7-1 against him this season, and no runs in those 14, scoreless. And last year, 89 innings at home, a 1.82 ERA, opponents last 200, 235, and 305. A good ERA on the road, but 2.92. And he only had 100 strikeouts in 77 innings on the road, and he had 119 in 89 innings at home. So I really like that one as well. Joey Lacchesi, we talked to Todd Whitestone on Monday about his first performance of the season. He struck out 9 in that outing, over 4.5 at -130. Take anything around -145, then it starts to get a little bit crazy. You may have to do some sort of parlay there. But I do like the matchup against the Nationals. He's a guy that does have a lot of swing and miss. We just haven't seen a lot from him over the past couple seasons. So I am in on that one as well. And then one more on the way out. Actually, don't have a banner for it. It's Tyler Mahle at over 5.5 strikeouts against the Kansas City Royals. That one is at -139 for Mahle. And that is a game that is happening this evening. So there's a lot of just afternoon action. So I kind of wanted to avoid some of that. So for Mahle, this game's at 7:40 Eastern in Minnesota. The wind is blowing in, and a matchup against the Kansas City Royals, and they're inside the top 5 in strikeout percentage and swinging strike percentage. We've been picking on Kansas City quite a bit. In fact, we had that strikeout ladder. Remember last week with Shohei Ohtani, we had the over 6.5, 7.5, 8.5, 9.5, 10, 11, 12. We went as high as 12, and I think he punched out 11 in that start. The Royals have a lot of swing and miss in their game, so it's a pretty good spot for Tyler Mahle. And I like Mahle as a pitcher. We've talked about him a couple times on this show as like a deep sleeper in fantasy baseball, and as a guy who can rack up 5 or 6 strikeouts per start. Getting out of Cincinnati last year, great small. What do they call it? They call it Great Small Park, even a Great American Park, but nonetheless, the move from Cincinnati to Minnesota is a good one for his upside. And I think we'll see the Twins roll in that game and continue to hammer the Braves. Can hammer the Braves, 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 Braves. We'll be back. We're going to talk about some running backs here next on Mean Streets. Keep it locked. Welcome back in. Final segment here. Just take a look at some of the running backs that we'll see get taken over the next 48 hours or so here. I think only two running backs tonight. Bijan Robinson up at the top of Texas, Jahmyr Gibbs up at the top of Alabama. And I think those two are in a tier in their own. Like, that's tier one. And I would actually probably have the rest in tier two, to be honest with you. There's a few guys that I like here. Zach Charbonnet is a guy that I certainly like. I think he has potential to be a three down back for sure. He's physical. He runs with a purpose. He's got good instincts, good vision. He's kind of a north-south runner, but I do believe he's got potential to be a three down back. 59 grabs over the last 2 years at UCLA. The guy that is interesting to me when I watch his film is Izzy Abanikanda. He's got blazing speed. He's an excellent one-cut runner. I think he has potential to be a receiver in the NFL, but he probably profiles more as like an early down running back, you know, get first and second down touches. But I think he's very interesting as well. And I know Randall came on the show and talked about Izzy, but it's a fun name to say, if you can say it, Abanikanda quickly. But Israel there out of Pittsburgh, I think he's got a lot to offer as well. And I'm pretty interested in Devon Achane. Achane as well is another guy who's got elite speed, electric with the ball in his hands. I think he's lacking a little bit of size, but he's got great balance and great creativity when I watch some of the film from him as well. I know a lot of people like Zach Evans, but I just don't feel like he can be a true bell cow back in the NFL. Only 22 grabs over the last 2 years for him. So I'm not sure that he's going to have a ton of fantasy upside, but a lot of these guys certainly are. Izzy, Achane definitely will. And I think we will see Evans and Charbonnet have some fantasy relevance right off the hop as well, especially Charbonnet. We may crack some Chardonnay when we see him get drafted to the Eagles on day two. We're going to take a break. We're out of here. Bye-bye. Thanks for taking the time to hang out. We'll be with you tonight. FTN Network NFL Draft Show starts at 7:30, and we will be back here. Mean Streets coming your way on Game Plus Network tomorrow to recap everything from round one. Have a good one. Talk to you then. Cheers.